Welcome to the City of Tukwila Finance and Governance Committee meeting. My name is Chair Kate Crower, and with me is Councilmember Deshaun Quinn of the committee. I don't know if we're expecting Kathy Hoger to make it or not, but she's our third. Right up front, I'm going to do something unusual. We almost never take public testimony in these meetings. This is the almost moment. I'm going to ask if it's okay to amend the agenda to put Joe Duffy up front and his question about signs. Are you good with that? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's two. So we're going to go ahead. Joe, you're on.
Okay.
Right here is good. If you can.
Okay. Well, good afternoon. Of course, my name is Joe Duffy, a citizen. I'm here about a sign that. I'm here about a sign that when we did 53rd down there, that we completed 53rd, and after we did 53rd, it was said that, okay, well, why don't we name the street after me? They gave me a street sign. This is the sign, but I was just wondering, since 53rd has been completed, we haven't did anything, I haven't heard anything on it, so I just want to know, what's the problem and what's the deal on naming the street?
So that's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I don't remember what our commitments were or when we said we'd do anything, so I think that's
Just want to bring the legacy of the net. That's all I have to say. And I'd like to say thank you all for listening to me and hearing me. And I hope I see y'all later on this afternoon if there's no question.
Mm-hmm. Is it a thing where he should leave the sign with you?
No.
You can keep it. I think it was a gift to you. And so we can talk with city staff and work with you to find what the history is and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than that, thank you all, and I'll see y'all in another hour and a half. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Nice seeing you, boys. Good.
All right. So moving on to business item 1-8, monthly general fund update from December 2022. Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director, take it away.
Thank you. Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director. So this report is the general fund expenditure report for the month of December. All general fund departments ended the year within budget, except for fire. All categories ended the year within budget. So these numbers are preliminary, but they're not going to change any department outcomes or category outcomes by the time they become final. I'm looking ahead. In 2 weeks, we'll be back to bring you the general fund monthly update, but more importantly, the quarter four report is scheduled for March 27th, and that'll be the same presentation that we bring to COW on April 10th. That quarter four report, though, is really a much more substantial report. It will expand on the monthly expenditure reports to include revenues, to include fund balance. We'll give a report on capital projects, and I also believe I heard feedback about coming with a list of grants that the city staff has applied for, whether they've gotten them or not. I'd like to include that in our fourth quarter instead of waiting till first quarter 2023. So anyway, expect that in a month. And with that, let that be the end of my report.
Questions, comments, council members, Councilmember Hoger. Your friend.
No questions.
All right. Good
to stay on.
Thank you.
It's the fifth report. You're staying on schedule, so we appreciate that. All right, moving to 1B, Capital Facilities Financing Update, Brandon Miles, Business Relations Manager.
So good evening, Councilor members. For the record, Brandon Miles, Business Relations Manager. I'm also serving as a property lead for some of our real estate and our capital facilities work. We started this discussion at the last meeting, just gave you an informal kind of oral presentation. And now we have in front of you a memo that is, this is a first draft memo in a sense that this is going to be an ongoing discussion with the committee and the city council over the next few months related to financing of capital facilities. So I first want to just kind of back, a lot of people to work went into this, finance parks, city administration. And what we're trying to do is to create kind of start having a discussion with the council of how we're going to look at some major capital facility projects and to plan those out better than we've done in the past. So I first want to start and just remind us that in a lot of the work for our buildings started in 2008 when we completed our seismic study. We found that most of our buildings, many of our buildings were not seismically fit, that buildings related to first responders, the fire stations, police, courts, emergency management, and public works functions would not be usable at the end of an after an earthquake. In 2015, we published after a two-year process, the council published a report. We published a report called Investing in Tukwila, the Central Government Services Facilities, 2015 through 2040. So this was our public safety plan. And that public safety plan recommended, included three new fire stations, a justice center, which would be police, emergency management, and court, a consolidated public workshop, and funding for fire apparatus and equipment. In 2016, we went to the voters, and there's related to the public safety bond. The public safety bond included the elements that we would fund through that for the fire stations, and the justice center would be funded through that voter bond. Other measures for the public works would be funded through other funding sources. Voters approved that bond with just over 60% of the vote, and we began looking at ways of how we were going to finance from various models, all our public safety. And so that led to the D20 model, which I know the counselor is well versed in and has seen numerous times. In 2018, we began the process of acquiring land for the fire station. The two fire stations that we ended up constructing were on city-owned land that we already owned, so we didn't have to do anything for that. Justice Center, we had a location on TIB, and then we identified what was the Heiser and the UPS facility for our consolidated public works, what we're now calling Public Works Operations Campus. And so in 2019, we began to replace those two replace fire stations 51 and 52, and the Justice Center construction commenced. The fire stations went fire station 51 and the Justice Center went operational in 2020, and the fire station 52 became operational in 2021. You may recall last year in 2022, Fleet and Facilities moved into what was the old Heiser building that let us move off of the George Long property. So I talked about the D20 model. In 2018, due to cost escalations from market conditions and from our initial estimates, based on incomplete data, the city created options for funding our public safety plan. So the council was involved with this. We had various, there was the A, B, C1, C2, and the D model to support the public safety plan. In June of that year, the council adopted the recommendations for the D20 model, which included the construction of the two fire stations and the Justice Center, dedication of land for land acquisition, building upgrades, and master planning for public workshops, our fire apparatuses, which was included, which I'm going to change is a little bit different here, issuance of 20-year bonds, and the use of other variety funding sources such as limited general obligation bonds, fire impact fees, land sales, and one-time funds, ongoing REIT, and some general fund. So as we kind of look back on the D20 model today, all major projects in the D20 model are now complete as originally anticipated in the 2018. That model was about constructing the stuff that was approved by the voters in the public safety bond. So we have now, data has been incorporated in the two capital funds, the 305 and 306 fund, as well as our debt service funds. Other changes is that we included some sales tax mitigation funds, which were initially due to those being reduced. We ended up using CARES Act funds to help with our offsets and cost increases. Now, the big thing is our future costs. Assuming a successful annexation vote, capital procurement of responsibilities for future fire equipment and apparatus were shipped from the city of Tukwila to Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority. We have had some land sales. Portions of the proceeds from the completed land sales of Traveler's Choice and Health Point have been used to support the D20 model, and the approved but still pending George Long land sale will also be used to support the D20 model. So on page 10 is a consolidated kind of look at the D20 model going back from June of 2018 through December of this year. We're still closing the books on 2020. So there may be some small changes, but it is relatively provides a good snapshot of where we're at. So you notice public safety bond, you know, this public safety plan, the total expenditures here was 109, just over 109 million. The big thing there, if you notice down at fire equipment apparatus financing, in 2020, we originally budgeted 15.8 million. Now we're budgeting 6 million because if, again, that vote is successful, that is a cost that does not is not on the city's ledger anymore. Moving down to public workshops, you know, we've budgeted phase one, which is the west side of the street is 36, or west side of the property is 36 million. We did some temporary improvements for Minkler Shops, and then there was some planning done as part of the teen center, and then budgeted is about 5.8 million for design of the public workshops phase two, which has not gone out to contract yet. Transportation committee is still looking at the test of fit. So down to revenues, again, you'll see the revenues listed there from the voter bonds, councilmatic bonds, fire impact fees, the Tukwila South fire impact fees, and then citywide fire impact fees. The big change there, that one of the things is land sales. Since we no longer need, since we no longer have that fire apparatus requirement, if the vote is successful, it does allow the city to take out the land sales, which could be apportioned to other activities. One activity could be the Public Works Phase 2 campus. So that's where I want to jump to. Our last remaining commitment in our public safety plan is the Public Works Phase 2. So again, we made a commitment in 2015 that we were investing in our first responders, which included fire, police, and public works. I think they oftentimes get forgotten as being a first responder. Minkler Shops, and you know, we got an interesting report, which we'll figure a way to brief the counselor on. It talks about we talked about the concerns with the levy back there, but that levy is risked by the Corps of Engineers as being a potential failure, and we would lose that the Minkler Shops in the event of an earthquake or other type of event, and which would be unusable, and it would hinder our ability to respond to other parts of the city if we lost that facility. So what's next? So Public Works has already moved onto the phase one part of the project. In March of this year, the test of fit will be completed and the city council will be briefed on cost estimates for the full build out and completion of Public Works phase two. The transportation committee is going to see that next week. And the number that we're looking at is about $87 million for that full build out. So that is significantly higher than what we included in our capital facilities plan. But we do think there's a way to get there to be able to do that construction. And that's one of the conversations that we're going to have with this committee over the next few months. It's to lay out a plan to construct that, a sustainable financial plan for that build out. So some other capital facilities planning efforts that we've talked about is looking at 6300 City Hall, the Community Center, Parks Maintenance, and Foster Golf Course, and to get a replacement plan for major infrastructure so we know what we need to do and when we need to do it and we can start budgeting it efficiently. We also need to do an updated facilities and assessment of space needs. This is already budgeted as well as that facilities maintenance plan, which I've already talked about. We're also going to be, the comprehensive plan is going to be updated here this year, and that includes funding for us doing a capital facilities element, which is a required element of a comprehensive plan. That would be looking at capital facilities, not just to the city of Tukwila, but also the school district, the poor district, any other agency that's looking at doing capital elements, it would be incorporated into that plan. Finance is going to start working on a financial sustainability plan. I think a lot of this stuff rolls into that as to how we maintain our buildings in a manner that is fiscally responsible. Next, we have a real estate strategy that we want to do to look at our, we're going to have some land that we need to figure out how we monetize, surplus, or do something with. So some key takeaways from the last 15 years. The seismic study began the city's overall facilities assessment process. 2015, the council laid the groundwork with the facility plan that laid out the public safety plan. And then in 2023, all projects that we have completed under the D20 model have been finished. The foundation has helped move the city to the next phase of facility planning efforts, which include the public works phase two. So right now we're test to fit. We want to move to design with the expected annexation into the Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority. That future acquisition of equipment will move to the fire the RFA. The budget efforts we're going to make in 2023 to help get us set up for 2025, 2026, and beyond. So next steps, we want to continue working with this committee on financing of these major projects. So the plan is that it will live in this committee as to how we're going to finance these projects and give you a plan forward for the public works building as well as other capital facilities that the city needs. So with that, again, this was just the second briefing. Happy to give you, answer any questions or anything that you think we need to start working on or give some, more focus on. Again.
Questions and comments, Councilmember Hillary.
So my question is, you said that right now this is discussion only and for future discussion, and you've got next steps. But what would you like to see from us today? Or what are you looking for us for today?
Help us deal with it. Like, give us some direction, some input as to how, where we can go.
Input.
You know, we had that number I gave related to the public works building is big. And we understand that as staff. It's a very big, it's bigger than what we can put into our CIP. With that said, I will continue to, one of the things is the number is big, the need is also there. We have a site where if we don't build, Minkler Shops poses numerous concerns from us from an operational standpoint and from an efficiency standpoint. We need to create a plan that is self-funding, and what I mean by that is something that we can fund ourselves. However, this building that we're proposing has a lot of options for grants and that we can go after for emergency management. So I don't ever want to say, hey, we're going to go and get a massive amount of grant funds, but it is something that I think can help pay for these projects. The other thing, too, is the land sales. How we allocate those land sales, I think, is something that we would need some direction from the council.
Okay. So the plan, you need a plan that is self-funding with grants. Now, we're going to move emergency management down to that area. When is that what you mean?
No.
You mean emergency managing as a, like, weather event?
Yeah, so our public works buildings or shops have always had a significant emergency management role in the sense of responding to, snow events or any other type of event. So there are opportunities for us to go and get grant funds, but we will present something. I want to present something to you that shows how we're going to pay for it, assuming we don't get any third party funds. Because I think that's an appropriate rate. So anything else we get is just kind of it's stuff that we can benefit the city.
Okay. So the last time I saw Minkler Shop, to the one down by Costco, I saw there was things being stored sort of half in and out of bays, and there's too much of it out, and they were getting in weather, and things had like overhangs that like a carport for to store them in, and then I saw a lot of pipes and everything right in the middle of the yard. Has anything improved since we've moved, or is that what it looks like?
Well, so we moved off of George Long. So George Long, feeding facilities within George Long, they have moved into that site. So that site, that's been great. The crews would tell you how fantastic that new space is. Minkler, the counselor was invested in some temporary, we have some improvements there that we did to address some stuff that bathrooms and showers, I believe.
Yeah.
And so that has been great investments. But from an operational standpoint, the site is very constrained. So if you think about that, we started operating there in the early 70s when Tukwila was a very different city, right? We had not completed the Riverton annexation. We had not completed a lot of our annexations to the north. Tukwila was a much smaller city to maintain, which was all kind of outlined in our facilities report about some of the challenges we have. And then that bigger challenge, of course, is we're right behind a levy. And so that levy presents some concerns in the event of failure or an earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the next step, I now have to go back to a lot of information. We're going to be asked forward to move forward with the design, which we have already in our budget.
So yes, we have, this is kind of two committees merging at once. We have budgeted just under $6 million to move to the next phase of design to get us to 100% design to build the public works jobs.
Okay.
Now, doing design does not obligate us to do construction. And so part of what you do is you get closer to, you start from this very pre-planning period to test the bit, get to a construction number. As you continue to go through the design and get closer to construction, you get better cost estimates. And so that is one of the things that as we go through design, we will hopefully get better cost estimates.
Okay. And so moving along with this, the getting to 100% design, which is our next step, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at that's next step. That would be the most timely input for us to give you.
Yeah, let me back up. One of the things I want to back up on the design stuff, and this again, Transportation Committee will be briefed on this. We will have off ramps as we go through the design phase.
Okay.
So, you know, there's different, I like to say 30, 60, 90, there's different things you say for building schematic and stuff, but let's just think 30, 60, 90. If we get to 30% design and we realize our costs have gone significantly up, the council always has what we've used in the past are off ramps. So we will always have off ramps, but we don't have to get to 100% design if we find major issues as we continue to move forward.
Okay, good. And so then, along with that facilities plan, we've got the updated facilities assessment and space needs, which I'm not going to ask about right now. Facilities maintenance plan, which is something we need to talk about. This is why there are going to be ongoing discussions. So I'm going to just leave my comments right now with that, the next step, because that seems like that's something that we're going to be putting money towards. There's other things I can comment on, but I will stop for now with those remarks.
Right. And again, our continued ongoing discussion, right? We're going to have multiple touches with this committee and with the council as a whole and as we develop it, just like we did with the D20 model back in 2018.
Okay. Thanks.
Councilor Lewis. So as you said, this is a preliminary discussion. We kind of get to see it laid out here. I'll just share, I think more information needs to be, we need to kind of surface some more information through this process. 87 million is 11 million short of what we did for the whole public safety bond, so I'm concerned about that cost and the frequency of last year to here. I want to learn a little bit more about kind of the levy pieces and what is digestible amounts for us to consider in the potential plan. And then also kind of on the comprehensive plan, I'd be curious, coming up soon, so how we communicate with other entities that aren't just us, that's one. Two, I have a concern about not only that number, but the safety piece, but also the overall facilities piece. So this is early. I need to kind of be able to step back and see actually the enormity of the amount, right? So you can really kind of process this and whether it be bonds or even being able to communicate the critical needs of Minkler without kind of the general public knowing those things. And it's a location thing. And then how do you do that at the same time where there are businesses there right now? And so how do we also communicate that if we're going to be out, then should I say they need to be out? So I want us to be intentional about this process.
And that last comment, we actually had, we talked about that because it's an important thing. We're not saying that South Central District is unsafe to do business or to even live it. because we have people that live there. What we're saying is a critical infrastructure such as a police station, a fire station, or a public works facility is not something that would be because we have operational needs immediately after that facility. So that's the difference, and that's one of the reasons. You remember we made the decision to take our fire stations out of there, as well as not locate some of our buildings down there. So.
Yeah, it's a nuanced issue.
Yep.
While at the same time, you are saying message.
Right.
So how do we articulate it?
Right.
And then also, this will be a full council discussion, because we're talking about a significant amount.
Right.
So we have to think about the sequencing of, you know, it's almost, it might require a whole new model.
Yep. And that's exactly
what that's why you're here. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right. Well, we are typically do chronological reports, and in this case, it starts to look like this. Mm-hmm. Works, fire department over here, the main building, what do we do? You know, department rec wasn't in there. So my first statement is start organizing this in groups. If it's by campus or whatever you want. So it's easier for us. The second thing is, if there are risks, I'm a project manager. You've been a project manager, I think, in the past. We need a risk register, and we need that register from the biggest risk to the lowest risk in your estimation, which includes probabilities. Why we can't do that for this, it's construction projects, so we should. Third thing is, if I'm not mistaken, we used to have a plan, a phase three, for the what you're calling the public works campus, and I'd like to see that unearthed again, because at one point we said we're going to do plan one, we're going to do this, plan two, we're going to do this, and plan three. And if we cut straight to plan three, that would be an interesting thing to note. But I'm wondering if we have to do everything all at once. So because we're getting to the part where ain't no dollars. So even if you want to say you've got a path. We've got a history that says we're really horrible at estimating a spot. And this is a estimate up front that I'm going to just say our reputation says these are horrible, and it will be easily half again or twice as much by the time we get there. So I get concerned. I also think there's things that are missing, like conversations seem to have just disappeared. What other buildings and things that we think that the council is considered given some direction on it. Where did it go? And where does that fit into this plan? And that's why it's really important to get some of these grouped together so it's easy for us to digest. It might be a thing where we follow through on our D20 plan, but it's kind of set towards the safety, public safety issue. We aren't 20 years in. So maybe it's a secondary plan for all the rest, and we just stay the course. I understand. We've set the request back line. Please describe why this blows up D20. And there might be lots of good legitimate reasons. I'm not seeing them here. It's more, again, it's your second pass. It's kind of a smattering right now, hard for us. Then I actually have to expect you to have a list of our real properties and a generic idea of what their value roughly is. Doesn't have to be detailed, rounded to the nearest 100,000.
I will say, I mean, when we say we take 10 million out, I mean, if you look at what we've taken out, I think that shows. I mean, so we showed 13 million of land sales in the D20 model for December 2020, and then we show that our actual was only 3 million. So we've taken out about 10 million is the budgeted number now. And that's what I was working on, is the budgeted number.
And all I'm trying to say is that I'd like to see the whole thing in context, right? In pieces. What are our properties, and roughly, what are they? It's going to change, it'll go up, it'll go down, round it off to hundreds of thousands if you want, doesn't matter to me. Just, you know, this is north of 500,000, this is south of 500,000, just so we have an idea what's out there. I've lost track of our agreements. I know kind of where we're at with Health Point, but I have no idea where we're at with the property that used to be the motel that we tore down.
Which one's that? The Traveler's Choice.
Is that the Traveler's?
We sold that 2 years. We sold that over a year ago, and I'll resurrect an email that I sent to the counselor providing.
Okay, but what I heard you say, Council Member, I just want to be clear, is that you'd like to just list all the properties and yes. those that we have sold, we can write down and say what happened.
Right?
Yeah, that's a legitimate.
And I have this impression it was a picture, but I don't know. When we did our work, and I was really glad they were indoors, Public Works, I think, showed this picture where the squirrels were inside, I thought, the current public Heiser building, unless you came up with another garage, where they were delighted that they were warm, and they were delighted that they had time to plan ahead of time. They could pick up the spoils, and they could go do their work. Did we use that approach?
So I think the picture you're referring to is they did their emergency management, a winterizing process inside the fleet facility building, what we refer to as the old paint building.
Yeah.
And so we were using that, and that you're exactly right. It was the first time that they actually got to go indoors.
I think it was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. In fact, I was wondering.
I think if they were here, they would tell you how they were very appreciative of the council's and the community support.
I got a very deep warm feeling from it, even at the time that they were talking about it.
Hey. Yeah. The question you asked about spoils, now that is something that is not been resolved because it's currently still on some other sites, on Long Acres and some other sites there. But
right.
The big plan is to bring those spoils onto the site.
Yeah, we have a bigger plan with permanency there, but, you know, frankly, the permanency of what we have is, am I crazy? It's cinder blocks and sort of a, it's kind of like what I would get if I went over to the topsoil company in Furion to pick up topsoil and gravel, right?
Yeah.
It's not like these are hard structures or anything. Is there a place for them down at Public Works while we're trying to design for a year or so and figure out where things should go?
Okay.
And then maybe they could be there and get their spoils and operate already out of there and they're not in Minkler. Because it's solved for all of Minkler. I'm not the mayor. I don't want to make all these decisions. But use what you have while we're trying to plan for the future. There's other things, traffic control and other things that go on there that might get more space. I hear about how bad the parking is down there and to move all kinds of vehicles around. And I'm like, are we using what we have as well as we can? Is it that much more precious to have it down at Meekler than someplace else? So, you know, just food for thought. Maybe some of these particular, I don't know what soils or spoils, but whatever it's called, need to be under roof and it's not possible. Who knows? But, you know, our original design for the Heiser building actually included that indoors at that drive-thru. Mm-hmm. That's why when I saw the picture, I thought, well, maybe they actually did it. So food for thought. So the plans registry, did the register. I just kind of want a 50,000-foot view on where everything's at. It looks like they're going to try to do that through kind of a strategy. It just has to be, you know, I think it should be easy for us to understand, you know, where everything is, how much it costs now, how much it might be worth, and what we should, you know, who's banging on our door right now. You'll have to name entities, but you talk about what kinds of entities, you know, do we have, you know, something right at bay, and we should be talking about that. What, you know, what are we holding out on? What are we going for? I was interested in a capital facilities element. I didn't know we had to include the Metropolitan Pool and the TSC School District, but I'm thrilled because working collaboratively together on what makes sense for all of us makes a lot of sense to me. And I think some of them will surprise you with some of their plans. I think we've done two seismological.
We have. And nothing's changed. I mean, nothing changes. The seismic studies never get better. So we did redo a second one, and I didn't want, there was no need to represent because nothing changed.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah, so.
And from that, is there any way for us, similarly on the risk register, to start figuring out what the percentage risk it is using the probabilities we're all talking in project management?
Right. I will look at that. I don't know, like, how, I mean, we can look at the probability of what happens in this building and the event of an earthquake, but we'd have to look at the probability of that earthquake happening. I mean,
that's fine with me.
Right. Well, definitely look at it. I want to manage expectations that some of those probabilities are going to be very, you know, can be very high in the sky. So
sure, but This is how people make decisions.
Right.
Informed information that tells them the gravity of the situation. I mean, again, we talked about this maybe in the transportation meeting. We built out this building multiple times after we said it was a tragic seismological danger. And as we watched us build out suites and move people around and move people into this building, I sat there and went, what is that level of risk? How bad is it? And then we've had conversations about maybe vacating it, filling up our other building and using this building for partner agencies and organizations as a revenue stream. I'd love to know, I know you've told us what our revenue stream is coming from UPS currently. And then any things you think we'll get when we, I don't know, if we're waiting for phase two to put in the, what is that drain called?
The decamp facility?
Thank you, the decamp facility. So we're waiting for phase two to do that. Can we do it any sooner?
No. So I mean, we can look at it, but I want to answer questions for you.
So we can go down the list.
Yeah, go down the list.
It's a good list. Keep going.
When I see you converse about the financial plan, I see you bouncing back and forth between the UTGO and the LTGO. The only one that we talked about how, you know, we could pay off the rest of public works. We have this other revenue that we talked about in the D20. But I think we should specifically start talking about what Summit Council has for council manic taxes.
Yep.
Because we're about to go through some changes for businesses. We're doing changes because of fire departments. And there are people who are really nervous right now. So just assume that we can run out and drop a councilmatic tax on there may not be the smartest. It may not be the time that the public's ready for it. It might be, but we need to be very, very clear about what does that look like financially and from whom. So I think I'm almost done. Let me just run through a couple other notes. HealthPoint, how close are we to having some kind of a, are we making revenue from HealthPoint yet?
Yes, so we have a PSA with HealthPoint. I can get more specific. I will send an email with an update, but it was a long-term closing, but they provided us revenue at certain stages that becomes non-refundable. So we are under contract, and once and have we received revenue from them, which I believe. Do you know? Do you have that? I mean, I'll get that.
That'll be in the list of the reason. But from my recollection, council members, is that the next payment from HealthPoint is, I think, in July of 2023, mm-hmm. about $1 million will be the final payment from HealthPoint. That's included in adopted budget that you...
It's in the budget.
It's in the 2024 budget. Ms. Carlson already has it in your planning efforts as we go forward.
Good job. To see that and where it's going would be good, I think, and probably an easy chart to come up with. What revenues we have, where it's going, what's not spoken for yet. And then we can start having this conversation about, I mean, we were talking about Teen Center and we said $57 million for that and we couldn't afford it. So now we're talking about public works. I love you guys, but $87 million is a lot of money and I know this is not the price, right? So I know it's going to be higher. And so do we do this in stages? What is the most emergent thing that we need to take care of? I did worry when you talked about the levy. And the risk, I know you're talking about critical infrastructure, but I bet everybody all around us thinks they're pretty critical too. So I'd love to know the level of risk that the levee's suffering from. Because if anybody's watching paying attention, I think we just alarmed a lot of people that our levees aren't rich, which I don't know where that's going to fit into comprehensive planning, but it seems like we always end up talking about the levees during comprehensive planning, even though it's not a directive. So maybe it's time for those numbers to tell them. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a pretty good list for now. My temptation is to say, give the detailed D20 back out there and say, transform from here to here so we can see where things are going. This will go here, this will go there, that will go there, then we'll do these things. And that's what the transformation will look like. It might be easier for us to follow. I think this is the time for it to be easy for us to follow.
So that's a great segue. How would you like it? So we can come back to you with everything at once, or we can go and hit you in stages like we were planning on doing. So I just want to make sure I meet the expectations of the committee. Would you like us to put everything in place, or kind of a one proposer that we run by? It's going to take us a little bit more time, or we can check in with the committee on certain things as we go forward. And I just, because that was, I just want to, there's a lot here.
If you let me finish.
Well, I
kind of went off on an answer.
No.
I kind of want to interject and say, personally, I'm interested in a high level, lots of context.
Okay.
And then if you want to start breaking pieces of that, we'll at least constantly be able to go back to the context. And similarly on the budget, you have a budget. It's called D20. And so if it's not working, tell us how you would transform it in pieces. But we always have the context where things came from and where you come up with all these new ideas for new funding. And that's pretty basic. It's up to the others if they want to follow suit and think that that's a good approach. But I, for one, do not want to stare at public works and all the ruminations and then come back out here and realize if we made a decision about a property sale, something else could have been triggered that was more important to us. Or I'll say it another way. Zeroed in on something else, and we want to come back and take care of Harry and his people and do the public works. Either way, it's literally this year, we took $2 million we could have used in our bridge budget and put it into a design. Had we known the context, I would have felt better about that decision as a councilman. And so that's why I keep saying we need the context. Council members.
I mean, you look right.
Okay. Thank you. So you, Chair, you talked about a lot of things that you want to see.
I just want
to. Okay, so, and I'm going to go through them.
It's not about what I want, it's what this community needs.
Okay, so I'm going to go through them. Some of the asks were to do this, to organize this by groups, to have a risk register, to unearth the phase 3, to, and so those were some of those. And then there was also comments that you've asked a couple times about the tragic seismological danger that is this particular building. So I'm going to start there and then let's go back. So 2008, I was in a new council member. So you remember something, I think, better than that year, just because it's not moved into all the other years. We had our seismological study, and I remember there being this little matrix. Do you guys remember? Who remembers that? The small matrix that says, like, this is high, and so, or low or medium. And then when you're talking about an earthquake, it's like, is it a 200-year earthquake or a 100-year earthquake? So what I recall is that it was based on the risk factors for this particular building is why there was more done to the building, was because of the matrix. You're just guessing, right? So that's what, I don't think that it was just like, it's a risk. We're just going to keep building. It wasn't that at all. So that was like the details. But because everything had some sort of risk to it. And when you don't know if an earthquake is coming next year or in 200 years, it's a little bit more complicated even than a flood, because floods come all the time. So that's why I'm thinking with the building, what they've done with 6,300, those are some of what you talk about that I'm thinking, well, they're just balancing risk here. It is. A lot of the other reason this building is, it just would cost so much to upgrade it, and it's not just that it's going to pancake in there. I'm not sure if it actually would or not, but it could, right? So then also, so what you've asked for is what I'm going to rephrase is like, always keep the big picture in mind. That's what you said, and I'm going to rephrase it. I think that's great. Yeah, let's make sure we always have a big picture, and then again rephrasing what you asked for, and then we can find where all these things fall into groups. That's
perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it's organizational by groups, I think really what you were saying there is you want to be able to see things. You want to be able to understand them when you look at them. And grouping is a good way for you for that. The risk registry, I think that would probably, if it doesn't take a lot of time, you're asking for, let's see, what was the list of the property? Yes, that would be always good for us to have in front. And phase 3, an explanation about what happened to phase 3. I say yes to all those things. Maybe not exactly the way that you said, but we want those outcomes. We want to get those out. So there you go.
My comment is that actually, if you heard us, we said a lot of this. So fundamentally, it's sequencing, but it's also what you can press as far as how it comes forward. Because at the end of the day, we got to be able to not only sell it to us, sell it to our fellow council members, but also sell it to the general public. So I think we have it. It's not rush out and put everything all together on one page and do it. But I think in the context of the fiduciary responsibility, we have to be able to track the amounts and assess the numbers. So I think we have enough to get there. And then when we talk about risk registries and other pieces, to me, you can, anybody can put something on paper and say to rebuild it. But if you don't make the case, then you're not showing your word. So I think we're just, I think the goal is to be on the pace where it's clear and then ultimately get us in a position where there's some options for us to consider. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear any disagreement over here or any difference. So I think we should have a standard for something as significant as this, keeping in mind that it's in the comp plan, keeping in mind that it's a significant cost up against other costs that we didn't necessarily anticipate, right? Take the public safety plan away. It's still $87 million that we don't have. So I think we're all on the same page. I don't think we're good. I don't feel like we're debating at all. I think we're on the same page.
Thank you. Any other miscellaneous from anybody? I don't think I have any other than just to say thank you for two little baby snows. Things look like they were under control. Continue to work. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.